Aleluya. Could I make a request, really, on behalf of the maintenance staff of the church? Could the ladies please stop jumping on the toilets? Or if you get stuck in the toilets, will you, shout and somebody will come and lock the door, or whatever, anything, you know. So, I don't know if somebody's been dancing on the toilets or something last week, but I haven't yet found out who it is, but it went through the floor. We've repaired it. And praise God. Anybody under 9 stone going on the left hand side, on the right hand side, you're okay, safe now. It's this chipboard, when you get water sitter that's leaking and things like that, after a while it suddenly disappears. So, have a look around, see who it is. No, nobody's opening up yet, so. Praise God. Now I've got your attention a little bit. We all have problems, don't we, with our mind, at keeping our attention, keeping our minds fixed and focused in on what God is trying to say to us, even on a Sunday morning. So often when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, we can suddenly get distracted and think, what are the mates doing? Oh, who's it? It's come on. You know, and who would have feeling of a reason? I wonder what's going on. Oh, that's going on. And straight away we're distracted from what God and the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us. And we're robbed of something in our lives. I just want to talk about today, this morning, about the battle that's going on in our minds. And we all have that sort of problem, don't we? Distractions. When we start trying to think about the things of God, suddenly, or we start coming to a time where we want to pray and seek God, something from somewhere slams our minds into another gear, into another direction, into another motivation that usually is anti-God. Right? Oh, good. I'm glad there's more than me that suffers from that sort of problem. Right, it just pushes us into this sort of anti-God situation, and we've got to stop, we've got to bring ourselves back and start again. You know, the mind is a very, very, very powerful source in our lives. The mind, that soul area of our life that Jesus came to set free, to break it from the bondages of this world's systems. It came that our soul, our mind area, will be set free. And you know, man today, as broad as into that place where the mind is classed as a god. You know, we achieve things in our education. You know, we strive to send children to college and university, and there's nothing directly wrong with that, as long as God's place is first in their lives. And I've seen so many who were with me at college who didn't know God, and yet were striving to pass exams and were intelligent people. And yet we're still failing because there was a turmoil, there was a disturbance that was in their mind, that was in their soul being. And you know, they would come for advice and, you know, you'd wonder why. Because they would ridicule us. But yet, our minds were stayed on God. And you know, today, we find ourselves that our minds, if we're not careful, draw from the god of this world, Satan. He will affect our minds so strongly in so many different ways. And two, we can either allow our minds to draw from the Word of God, the God of truth, the God of light, the God of life, and the power to live in eternity. And that's where we need to draw from. As believers in Christ, that's where we need to draw our abilities in our mind. It's not our natural thinking that does anything for us. It's our soul area, our mind area. It's not our brain. Our brain is just a computer that carries out the functions in our body that causes my legs to move, my hands to move, and my mouth to move. But it's our mind, that soul area, that needs to be renewed, as the Word of God says. You know, a man or woman who receive the Word from God in faith, the first thing that happens is that in their own thinking, in their own imagination, they conceive that thought. They allow it to come from God, and they see something, God gives them a picture, God gives them a vision for something in the future. And they see it. and they conceive it right inside, within their very being, within their spirit. And this imagination and this gift has come from the Holy Spirit. And so it gets infused in your spirit. And so what happens? You begin then to allow your mind, allow your soul area, and your spirit to dwell and to rest upon that. And you begin to allow it to come to birth in your spirit. It's like the Abraham situation when God said to him, you're going to be a father. Many nations. At 75. He had to allow it to come in and begin to, that seed begin to grow and conceive it in his spirit. Let's just have a look then at a few scriptures first of all. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says, as a man thinks within himself, so he is. That applies to women, that applies to young people. As you think, so you are. And we find there that God is reminding us that our thinking needs to be renewed, because it will affect our motivation, it will affect the way we go, it will affect what we say, it will affect what we do. It's like a story I heard of an airplane mechanic who was working on an airplane, and the airplane he was working on belonged to a minister, and the minister came to see how things were going. And the mechanic came round from the side of the airplane and wasn't watching where he was going. And bang, he cracks his head on, you know, one of the wings, like, you know, and straight away, the mechanic's not a Christian, you see. And straight away, the flood tide of iniquity just flows out. The abuse to the aeroplane. Oh, not the aeroplane's fault, but the abuse to the aeroplane. Suddenly he there sees the man of God stood there and says, oh, sorry, I didn't realize you were there. It's okay. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, man speaketh. What? Our heart, our soul area needs to be renewed by the Word of God. Let's have a look at Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 7. Let's have just a look at a couple of foundation scriptures that we need to be dwelling upon. Romans chapter 8 and verses 5 to 7. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, or naturally minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Is life and peace to be spiritually minded. Because the carnal mind, the natural mind, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So straight away, we as believers have got to realise that if we start thinking in the natural, that cannot come under subjection to God. The Word of God says so. It's not subject to the law of God. And so we've got to come to that place where we start to renew our mind and allow the mind of God, the mind of Christ, to come upon us, that we might receive from God, and then that we might cause our body to operate in the things of God. Right? Have a look at Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2. Some of my favourite scriptures. I beseech you therefore, brethren and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable. It's expected of you by God. If He's your Father, if He's your Lord, if He's your King, it is expected of you to present your bodies before Him. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. It's important for your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, praise God. Glory to God. Although, you know, we can fight the flesh with the spiritual. And that's the best way. It cuts deep. It breaks down. And it allows the Spirit of God to move through. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. So we've got to be in God for pulling down strongholds. I think one rendering says for demolishing. Does it say in the NIV?
Yes.
Demolish, you know. Get your spiritual bulldozer, you know. And get some power of the Holy Spirit in and move forward and just slam it. Get it down. Break it. In the name of Jesus. Cast down imaginations, arguments. Cast them down. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. There are things that come into our minds that, oh, this can't happen. This can't happen. God can't do this for me. And straight away you're in wrong thinking. If it's in the Word of God and it says God is able to do far more abundantly than we can ever ask or think, praise God. Glory to God. Then that means what it says. Now if you're living in the Word and you're living in faith and you're living in obedience to the Word of God, then God will grant to you the desires of your heart. Right? I'm not going to get very far to this morning. He's going to grant you the desires of your heart. And that is the place that you've got to come to. That there is nothing impossible for you. No matter what the situation is that you're living in, God is going to, if you will allow Him, right? If you will allow Him, God is going to bless you with an abundance. He's going to bless you with health. He's going to bless you with strength. He's going to bless you with wisdom and knowledge and discernment and all the fruits and the gifts of the Spirit of God. He's going to give them to you. That's the promises of God. But He's got to start in our soul area, in our mind area, that's got to be renewed by the Word of God. We've got to get into the Word of God, and we've got to read it and read it and read it and believe it and believe it and believe it until it's coming out of our ears and out of our mouth, until everybody else is reading it, hearing it and believing it. And let it happen. And then walk into those things that you conceive in your spirit. Allow it to come into your soul area, your mind area, and then let it manifest itself through the body. And minister health to people. I believe that's the way forward for us all. Casting down imaginations, arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity. Hallelujah. Not only has He come to set the captives free, but He's come to bring captives and bring them into bondage, those things that disturb us and that trouble us in our minds. Those of you that don't sleep well on a night because of things that go through your mind. Even now while I'm talking to you, some of you have got problems in listening. Your minds are being assailed. Some of you say, oh, it's Him again. Well, don't matter, it's God the Holy Spirit as well. Some of you are still thinking wrong thoughts. Some of you are being pushed to one side by things that have happened during the week. Cast your cares upon Him. He cares for you. Don't let your mind be assailed, but take thought. Take every thought captive. Get hold of it. Stop it. In the name of Jesus. Bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It's got to come into the obedience of Christ. If it is not of Christ, then you stop it. You stop it. Now I'm not saying it's easy, because some of us have gone along this way for a long time. It has become a thought pattern. It has become a habit that has been imprinted in us. I mean, what would you do if you fell downstairs from top to bottom? What would you do? Huh? On the way down, what would you do? Shout and scream and, you know. I know of a story of a lady that fell downstairs from top to bottom. It's every stair on the way down, you know, on her back and everything. Rolled over. And on the way down, she said, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you Jesus, glory to God. Once she got to the bottom, you know, she got up with no pain, no bruises, no nothing. It's like the situation where we're involved in a car accident. What do? The name of Jesus should be on our lips. Now, I know we're not in that place yet, are we? Are we? No, we're not. Let's be honest. I'm not. I'm talking to you, I'm talking to me, I'm talking to myself about it. That is the place that we've got to come to. But when a crisis comes, who do we turn to? My natural thinking or my supernatural God? That's the place where we've got to go. That's the place where we've got to go. The reason that we're in this state all started with a thought that was implanted in a man's mind and a woman's mind in the garden. Did God say? Did God say? Just in a thought. Not sure he said that exactly. Yeah, it'd be all right. If you want to come and weed my garden, it's not all right. That's just in that area. But the fact that sin came in, and we live in this world that is sin sick, and it affects us in our thinking, which then affects us in our body. Some 6 months ago, I suddenly realised that I'd got a mark across my side. Somebody said it looked like I'd been bitten by a shark. Well, yeah, I suppose it does. But I hadn't, and it disappeared. I realised a few weeks later what it was and why it was there. One, it was shingles. And two, the reason it came was because I stepped out of my security in God and began to worry and to get anxious about a situation. And then I stepped back into God and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I hand it back. I've had no pain from it. The marks are still there, but they're fading. But I've had no pain. Now, people tell me shingles is painful. Well, praise God, I can tell you in God it's not painful. Glory to God, and it's been healed. In the name of Jesus. Because I've come back into the covering of the Holy Spirit. You know, man thought one day, he saw the birds flying, thought, we can do that. There's a few failures along the way, but man did it. We can fly. We can go anywhere. And go to the moon. And come back. He started with the thought, we could do that. The mind is very powerful, and we have to realise that we can either develop a positive type of thinking or a negative type of thinking. Now let's have a look at a positive type of thinking that was involved when Jesus was around in Matthew chapter 9 and verses 20 to 22. Matthew chapter 9 and verses 20 to 22. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. But she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. And Jesus turned around when he saw her and said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was well from that hour. Praise God. That's a positive action. That's reaching out and saying, if I can just touch, I can just reach out and believe it and receive it. She received it in faith. She saw herself that when she touched his garment, she saw herself in the future healed. She conceived it in her spirit, and it entered into her mind, and she believed it, and she knew that she'd only got to reach out and get there. But she could push through a crowd. She was a sick woman. She was a weak woman. She'd had 12 years of this, and she could push through a maddening crowd of who wanted to get near Jesus. But she determined that she saw herself healed if she could just get through and touch. And that's a place that we have to come to, where we just get through and touching God. And I tell you, once we touch, grab hold and keep hold of what God has given you. Don't let no man, no woman rob it from you. But take it and receive it and act upon it in faith. A negative look. Chapter 11 verses 2 to 4. And it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the rooftop of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, a woman of very, very great beauty to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman and said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came and she laid with him. For she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. It started with a wrong thought, and it brought sin upon the household of David. It began to destroy him. It destroyed the life of a young child. It destroyed the life of a man. It destroyed a marriage situation. And so God, you know, that's a negative thought that comes in. We have to take every thought captive. It just starts with an idea. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That, I'll do that. Now you can either say I will or I will not. If you're struggling with that, then you need to get into the Word or come out and have some prayer. If you're in bondage to things, then you need to come out and get released. Jesus came to set the captives free. You're in charge today. Because you're in the Word of God. The more that you spend time in the Word of God, the more you're in charge of your body. Just consider for a minute, when we're born again. The Word of God says, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Well, when I got born again, I didn't look any different when I looked in the mirror. I didn't think any different. But something deep down inside had happened. Something was born within me. Something was reborn within me. The spirit of man. And we've got to realize that that is what happens within us. My thinking doesn't change. My body doesn't change. It is still the same. It is still under the law of sin. It is still under that oppression of sin. So the Spirit of God that is born. Now what happens when something's born? It needs looking after. Is that right? Needs feeding. Right? Needs keeping clean. How do we look after the Spirit of God that's born within us, that's been born within ours, right down deep inside of us? We feed it on the Word of God. We cleanse it with the Word of God. We give it strength from the Word of God. And all the time we've got to do that. Now the thing is, we have problems. Straight away we start feeding our spirit from the Word of God. And straight away our mind, our soulish area, snatches that word and says, oh, that can't be true. How can you have lived all that length of time? You know? Can't believe that. Red sea parties, I mean, cool, come on. You know? Can't believe it, can you? Walls of, you know, I mean, walls of Jericho, I mean, they didn't just, you know, I mean, they must have had some sort of dynamite and, you know, kept shoving it in when they were going round. Move it all down, you know. It's right, isn't it? This is it, you know. This is what happens. It's anywhere we've been snatched. Snatching it from us all the time. So you've got to continually feed your spirit and you've got to stop your thinking. You've got to stop the natural thinking that comes in. You've got to begin to take control of your thought life. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not of things on the earth. So easy for us to set our minds on the things that are around us. Because we're human beings. We live in a natural realm. And we see things, don't we? You know, we wake up in the morning and we feel, oh, my back. It's right, isn't it? Now, is your spirit sick? Or is your body sick? And if it's your body that's sick, where does your body get its life from? Spirit of God. The spirit of man gives life to the body. So, you feed your spirit. And it will get rid of that back pain. It will get rid of that arthritis. It will get rid of that cold. It will get rid of those infections in the eyes. It will get rid of whatever it is. Because if it's got a name, it's got to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Your mind and your salvation. John chapter 3 and verses 3 to 6. There Nicodemus, in conversation with Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, we have men who were eminent scholars. And they studied the scriptures. And they've got qualifications behind the name, you know. so-and-so, Reverend Canon so-and-so, or whatever his name is, D.D. A lot of them are demon deceived. They've looked at the Word of God, and they've reasoned it in their own mind. They have put God into their thinking. Man has brought God down to his level, instead of God saying, come on, I'm bringing you up to my level. I'm supernatural, what are you? Okay, I have problems at times with the natural. There's a battle going on, and we have to fight that battle in the supernatural. So Nicodemus is told, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. That's why people can't understand it. That's why people think you're crackers. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most surely I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's born of the Spirit. It is something that is totally different to what we understand in the world. It is a new dimension. It's a new dimension that we're in. The only chose book, fourth dimension. Yeah, okay. Is it a fourth dimension? Is it a seventh dimension? I don't know what dimension it is. But it is a new dimension that we have never experienced before. And some of us have only just touched the edge of the dimension. We have not yet arrived there. Do you know, some of us have been going along the Christian life, and I talk to myself, and I think that I've been a Christian for, I don't know, 18 years. And I think sometimes I'm still in nappies. Okay, yeah, I've grown up, I've taken size, whatever, you know, 28. But I'm still in nappies, spiritually. I've not stepped into the things of God. I've not stepped out in faith. I've allowed reasoning. I've allowed false doctrines. I've allowed what people think about me to put me in bondage. And the thought comes from the enemy. We've got to have a spiritual experience in God, and it's got to be through faith. We cannot walk with God unless we walk in faith. The battle is a battle that is not seen around us in the natural sense. Yeah, you can argue with somebody. You can have a good slanging match and go out and think, well, I'll kill them. And you've been in a battle. But yet you don't understand the spiritual battle. It's not like that. But the enemy would seek to bring you into that thing of a conflict in the natural, that he might draw your attention away from the supernatural and bring you in a bondage situation. It's through faith. Ephesians 2:8. But it is by grace that you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. Now we need to receive that gift from God. We need to appropriate it in our own lives. We need to allow it to renew our spirits and affect us in the right ways, in our thinking, in our desires for God, in our motivations for God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Did that happen to you? In the natural it didn't. You have problems still. In the natural you still have problems. But in faith and in your spirit, and as you feed your heart and your life on the Word of God, you're going to break through. And those problems that were problems just occasionally become a trouble. You dispel and you dismiss. You that are in bondage to habits. You that can't sleep at night. You're in bondage to something. And that's not condemning you, but that is to say that God can set you free. The Word of God can set you free. That battle that the enemy would seek to put upon you, on your mind, to attack you, to rob you of your strength, to rob you of your health. We need to cooperate with Christ. We need our Christian experience. It's not a passive thing. We're in a warfare. We're in a battle. And we must bring down the gates of the enemy. We must break down those strongholds and we must push forward in the things of God. Philippians 2, in verses 12 to 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You've got to work at it. You've got to work at it in the morning with your quiet time, on an evening, your prayer life. You've got to work at it. Sometimes you get up and you think, oh, I haven't got time today. Straight away you leave yourself open to the attacks of the enemy. Physically you're weak because you're not drawing life in the Spirit. You're opened up. You've gone out without your armour. You've gone out without your source of supply. So many of us have probably done it for years. Think, well, okay, I'll be back later. I'll do it later. Later. It never comes. And then it's too late. The enemy has seized you, taken hold of you, taken captive an area of your life that was at one time surrendered to God. He's out to get you. You're number one on the hit list since you became a Christian. And the more you work for God, the more on the hit list you are. Hallelujah. And then Christian's head. Right? Glory to God. Praise God. But it is God who works in you both to do His will and to work on behalf for His good pleasure. God delights in you and I as individuals. He delights in us. But today, we have got to get out of this world's mould. Our minds are moulded into thinking certain ways. You see it with the kids. Advert comes on television, and they'll sing it all the way through. You give them the note and they'll go for it. They'll sing it all the way through. We're constantly being bombarded in that area. We've got to break out of this mould. We've got to break out into the things of God. We've got to renew our minds. You know, we've a mental choice to make. We've got a new way of thinking to go for. Or a decision to act in line with a new way of thinking. That's renewing your mind. The mental choice is that I'm not going to do that. And then there's a decision, there's an act that comes with it and says, that's right, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to move in the way that God says. I'm going to be obedient to God's word. I believe we've got to come to that place. Just want to move on just to something else in that area. It's not going to get through at all. Maybe we'll have to listen some other time. Okay. Abraham. Let's have a look at Abraham for a minute. Let's have a look at his life situation. Can you imagine the situation? 75. God comes along and says to him, I'm going to change your name. He's out in the desert. God meets with him and says, I'm going to change your name. I'm going to give you my name. God's Spirit. Plant it in you. My seed. I'm going to put it in you. It says, from now on it's Abraham. Sound of God. He gets back to where he lives. You know, his tent and all his servants and his sheep. And one of his servants comes up and says, now Abraham. He says, my name's changed. He says, aye. He's been out in the sun too long. You know, the old man's done a bit. But he pays good wages. So, I'll call him whatever he wants me to call him. He says, oh, my name's Abraham. Okay, I'll call you whatever you want. You, wouldn't you? Somebody paying you wages. Oh, I said, look at it in the natural. He says to the guy, he says to his servants, I'm the father of many nations. Yeah? It's right, isn't it? He's now got a son. He's past it. His wife's even past that. No, she's passed further on than what is. She's never been there. Let alone past it. He's the father of many nations. And God said, then Sarah, she's going to be the mother of them. Can you imagine God offering you a deal like that? What did you do with it? Your natural mind says, this isn't going to work. You know, this is really, I mean, we've been trying a long time. We've been trying a long time, we've not got a family. And now this God says, you don't have one? So you don't believe in anything. So you know what happens? We got all the trouble then of the Israelites. She says, well, I think, you know, you need to keep her Rolls Royce and all the riches that she's running with, you see. She says, well, I'll have to humour the guy. I'll send the maidservant in with him. And we'll have a son that way. Maybe that's the way God's going to do it. So we have all the trouble with the Israelites, etc. And he thinks that's a good idea. Yeah, that's how we'll do it. That's what God said. So often, you see, that thought just comes in. And then suddenly we allow it to grow and develop. Instead of rooting it out, we allow it to grow and to develop in our spirits. And say, well, maybe that's what God said he was going to do. And our thinking becomes perverted because we've let go of what God said. And so often that happens. You know, we think God said this, when we look in the Word of God, we know what God has said about my situation. I am not the sick. I am not the one that's in bondage. I'm the one that's healed. Abraham looked at it. First of all, he looks with his natural mind and says, you know, this is impossible. And everybody else is sitting laughing behind his back. And nothing happens for the next 15, 25 years. Nothing happens. But yet, he goes out on a night to look at the stars. And God says, look, that's my promise to you. And he sees the stars. And he's gazing around and thinks, this is great. Kicks his foot on the tent post and rubs his toe and looks down and sees the sand. And God says, yeah, just like the sand, that's how your nation will be. God constantly reminding him. And he walks out, stands out on the sand and says, that's my family. You're the family. You're the seed of Abraham. Abraham saw you. When God said it, he saw it. Not in his mind, but in his spirit being. In his supernatural being, he saw it and it began to grow. God had made a covenant relationship with him. Isaac was born and brought to that place. He started to grow. And God said, I want him. Sacrifice him. And Abraham said, what? But he's the seed. God said, that's right. Sacrifice him. And Abraham looked back to the promise that God had given. He looked into the sky, he looked out at the floor and saw the sand and said, I'm a father of many nations. And he said, if I kill him, then I know God's going to raise him up. And he went with his men, and he said to the men, you wait here. The boy and I will return. Now he knew that he'd got a job to do. And that was to plunge the knife into his only son. But he said, the boy and I will return. In his spirit, he received it. In the natural mind, he saw death. What rules? Spirit rules. That supernatural realm ruled in his eyes and said, I receive it. I receive my son back to life. I receive my health. I receive my prosperity. I receive my salvation. I receive my deliverance. I receive it in Jesus. It's not here. I believe so often the reason why we failed in bringing the truth and allowing the supernatural to work in people's lives is because we brought it down to the natural level. We've been afraid of the supernatural. We've been afraid to step into it because of what men might say. I've come into that place where I'm more afraid of what God might say because I disobeyed. Paul struggled in his own spirit. I brought it with me. The Amplified Bible. In Romans 7 and verse 19 to 25. Romans chapter 7. Paul says, "For I fail to practice the good deeds I desire to do, but the evil deeds that I desire to do are what I am ever doing. Now if I do what I do not desire to do, it is no longer I doing it. It is not myself that acts, but the sin principle which dwells within me, fixed and operating in my soul, in my mind. So I find it to be a law of my being that when I want to do what is right and good, evil is ever present with me, and I am subject to its insistent demands. But I discern in my body, bodily members, in the sensitive appetites and the wills of the flesh, a different law, rule of action, a war against the law of my mind, my reasoning, and making me a prisoner to the law of sin that dwells in my bodily organs, in the sensitive appetites and the wills of the flesh. Oh, unhappy and pitiable and wretched man that I am, who will release and deliver me from the shackles of the body of death?" There's a note of praise. Oh, thank God. Amen. He will, through Christ Jesus, deliver me. Hallelujah. If Paul had the problem in his own life, then we've got to be man and woman enough to admit that we have those sort of problems in our lives. And we've got to come to that place where we surrender ourselves, where we come and take the Word of God and allow it to start and be moving through us and admit our failings and come before God and before others and get other people to pray for us and to break the bondages of the past and to release us from the captivity of the enemy and to bring us into freedom and to life and to allow the Spirit of God to begin to move through us, that when people walk in, yeah, but there's crackers in there, they're not Jesus, but Jesus. That's why if Jesus came into today, do you know what would happen? We throw him out. He'd turn around and say, "You Pharisees, you hypocrites." Doesn't go down nice, well, does it? But that's the place that we're in. You have not done my Father's will. I've not done it. We have failed at the moment, and God is rising, beginning to raise up an army, and he is seeking that you will stand up and be counted. And that you will walk out, get on the water, be ready to like Peter. Peter failed even after that. But God forgave him. God released him and set him free. God's not pointing the finger to break him down. God's pointing the finger that we might come to that place where we will apologize before God, where we will repent of our apathy, where we will come to that place where we can be released in the Spirit, and that men and women in Bentley shall be released into salvation, into life, into healing, into deliverance. Set free from the bondage of the occult, the witchcraft and the things of this world that so easily beset us, that pull us down. That's the place where we've got to come to. We have the power. We have the authority. And we've got to take the battle to the gates. We've got to break the battle in our own minds. And we've got to be loosed in our spirit for God. I believe it. Be a Joshua and stand. And when the angel of the Lord comes and says, "The battle is not yours, but it is the Lord's," then be prepared to step aside and let God move in. And let God be God in your own life and in your own experience. Don't be like those 10 spies that went to spy out the land and saw the natural things. Be like Joshua and Caleb and see the supernatural in God. And let grasshoppers to us. We can defeat them by the power of Almighty God. That's the experience that we need to live in. That's the place that we've got to come to. And let God be God in our own lives. Oh, Jesus, do it. Jesus, do it. Every one of us has got the potential to do it for God. Young Thomas, I don't know if he's in the meeting, but he has got the potential to run the 100 metres in 10 seconds. He can't do it at the moment. But if he trains in that area and trains and trains and trains, he will run 100 metres in 10 seconds. And if we as believers will train and train and train in the Word of God and admit where we failed, it's only when we admit where we failed that God can move in and say, okay, you failed, now you're humble enough to admit it. Now I will show you, I will take over and minister through you. Let's be prepared to step out. Stretch ourselves in God. This nation is going through a lost eternity. We have got the answer to the AIDS disease. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And AIDS victims can come in, and if we're in the power and the moving of the Spirit of God, then we can set them free as they give their hearts and life to Jesus. There's nothing impossible to God. And we've got to move into that realm. We've got to move into it. But our minds have got to be released from the bondages and from the natural thinking and from the worries and the cares of this world and loose ourselves into God's freedom, into God's life, and put ourselves absolutely and totally in the hands of God. And say, Lord, whatever it costs, I'll pay that price. Whatever it takes, take it. Whatever it takes, take it. Don't hold back. Because if you hold back, God cannot give you. Hands are full of so many other things. Let it go. Let bondage go. Get freedom in God. You that desire more of God, come on, reach out. Reach out. Allow God to do something in your life. Stand up and recount it. Spent time and been praying about this word all the part way through. I feel this in my spirit and in my heart. Felt it through the last couple of days. Our balance has got to be in God. Jesus was balanced. Jesus was balanced. But the Pharisees and the other people around him said he was unbalanced. They say he was of the devil. Can't get much more unbalanced than that. I want a balance in God. And the balance is not the natural that I see. The balance is the supernatural that my spirit desires to see in God. That's the balance. The balance is when there's so much pull of the love of God and the power of God in this place that it draws men and women to Jesus. That you walk out in the street and you reach out and see something and you touch them and you minister life to them in the name of Jesus. That's a balance. The disciples turned the world upside down. They put it the right way up. They balanced it. But the church has allowed it to get unbalanced again. And has become social and has become committed to the ways of the world. Now turn it back. Turn it back. If you make a mistake, God will correct it. As long as you're making them in God and moving in God, and as you're submitted to one another, God will correct it. And God will be glorified in it. Faith to every one of you has been given. Faith has been given. And you've all got the same measure of faith. Because the Word of God says so. God measures faith. And never says he uses two measures. He measures faith to each one of us. That potential is within us. He's measured it to you. The same measure of faith. Now cause it to grow. Cause it to stretch. Cause it to be established in God. Reach out and touch the throne. And let God be God in your life. For Jesus' sake. I'm just going to challenge you one final thing. If you need prayer, if you need setting free, if you need help in your mind, ears, and things in your life, and you feel that God has spoken to you, whatever it is this morning, you feel it, you need help. But I'm going to be staying after this meeting. I don't need to rush off at all this morning. And I believe one or two of you will stay and we will pray. And we will minister the life and the Word of God into your situation. And let God be God in your life. Amen.
Amen. Let's pray, friends, shall we? We thank you, Lord, for the burden that you've placed upon Andrew's life. You know, Lord, the desire that he has, Lord, to please you. We thank you, Lord, as that burden has been released in some measure this morning. It's been passed to us. And as we look in our lives, Lord, we see the places where we have fallen. Places, Lord, where we've failed you. But we see such tremendous potential in you. I just pray, Lord, this morning for every person that's bowed before you. That we desire, Lord, to please you in all that we do and say. To bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. To win the battle of our minds, Lord, for Jesus. I pray, dear Lord, that you'll just help us to that end, Lord. Garrison each one of us around, Lord, with your love and by your grace. Move upon us all by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we shall be free, as we've all been told by your Spirit this morning, Lord, the truth shall set us free. We pray, Lord, that as we work together as free men and women, that we shall have the joy of seeing others coming to a saving knowledge of yourself. Thank you for your word, Lord. Be pleased to bless it to each and every one of us. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Can I just repeat what Andrew has said? If you do have a need for ministry, there will be those of us here at the end of the meeting to minister to you.